I was blessed enough this last week to go on retreat with about 9 other priests in the diocese, and we went over to Our Lady of Grace over in Stillwater, and it was a beautiful, nice, silent week. And one day we had chicken and rice for lunch, and one of the priests was sitting at the table, and I decided to go join him, and there was a frog sitting in one of the chairs next to him, so I sat next to the frog and across from the priest. And during the meal, he took his fork, scooped a little bit of the chicken and rice, and dabbed it right in front of the frog's face, hoping that the frog would also have lunch with us. But I've never seen a frog eat a chicken. But I thought, well, all things are possible with God, so maybe this priest just has a lot of faith. He's got a lot more faith than I do. But the frog never ate the chicken. Surprise, surprise, but I just thought I'd share that with you all, because during retreat, we're not always thinking the most pious thoughts. Sometimes we're just thinking about our lunch right in front of us. So. In today's second reading, St. Paul, in his letter, he says, "I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And so he presents it in such a way where obviously race has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And sometimes, depending on what the race it is, sometimes there are certain stages. And within the spiritual life, there's also certain stages. There's a beginning with your baptism, and there's an end with your death. But obviously, as you're approaching our Lord and as you're growing in love with Him throughout your entire life, there are certain stages and kind of journeys and things you'll go through that you can kind of say, yes, I'm advancing in this, that, or the next way. And you kind of see the ways in which you need to go, and you can see the things you need to be avoiding as you approach our Lord closer and closer. And so different spiritual masters like St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, they've kind of tried their best to kind of route this journey for us, and everyone's going to kind of go along the same similar journey and kind of pass the same road signs if you really desire to meet Jesus Christ and Him fully, and hopefully come into that perfect union with Him, if not here on earth, then obviously naturally in heaven. But the Pharisee in today's gospel, if I take a guess, since this is our Lord's parable, he's probably kind of thinking of himself as a very wise, learned, holy guy, because he studied the book, he's a Pharisee, he's done the work, he probably spends a good amount of time in prayer, but his prayer to our Lord clearly doesn't show that. And our Lord is kind of showing him and perceiving him as this arrogant, prideful man. Whereas we have the tax collector, where we would assume he's probably not going to be as spiritually advanced, and yet he has this nice, beautiful, humble prayer to our Lord. And our Lord says the tax collector was justified, the Pharisee was not. And so we want to strive to our best to not be like that Pharisee, to see our own faults in our own hearts, to see the ways in which we fail our Lord, because the way he almost phrases that prayer, it's almost as if, you know, I tithe, I fast, I do all these things, thank you that I'm not like all these adulterers and blasphemers and all these horrible people, and thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. He almost phrases the prayer as if he's saying, God, you need me. You need my fasting. You need my prayers. You need my tithing. And nothing could be further from the truth. Our Lord doesn't need us. Our Lord doesn't need our good works to make His good works fruitful. The poor don't need us. It's good that we give them money or clothing or food or shelter or whatever the case may be. But obviously our Lord could do that Himself. Our Lord puts the poor in our lives so that we can cooperate with His grace, cooperate with His will, cooperate with His goodness, so that we can also be in tandem and think and act and do God's will in our own lives, so that we too can grow in holiness. But ultimately, God could do that all Himself. He could provide for the poor. He could give them all houses. He could give them all nice little mansions, because He's all-powerful God. He could do whatever He wants. But He invites us to be loving towards those who are less fortunate. Because sometimes we go about life doing this, that, or next thing, doing a good work here, donating our time there, whatever the case may be. And sometimes we think, man, we did a really good job, and we pat ourselves on the back. But our Lord might be thinking, this is not what I had in store for you. This was not my plan. You do this more out of your own ego trip versus actually doing it for the glory of God and doing it for your neighbor. You did more for yourself. And so sometimes our good works are really no better than us trying to feed chicken to a frog. It doesn't come out to anything. It doesn't amount to anything. It's no good, and it's not very fruitful. And so we need to try our best to truly come to know God, to know His will, in order for us to actually do those things specifically that He wants us to do in life. The Pharisee, he's got these great ideas of our Lord. He's studied Scripture. He's probably studied the history of the church. And even in our own days, it's really easy to study the lives of the saints and to study church history and to study all these theological concepts and everything and to know God in our head. But they say that the longest foot in history is from our head to our heart. Sometimes it can be really, really hard to get the things that are in our head to be as stable in our head as they are in our heart, and to get our heart to actually believe what's in our head. It's really easy to say we trust God. It's really easy to say that I believe in God. It's really easy to say that, yes, God can take away my cancer, heal my pains and suffering, put together my family, bring my children back to Mass because they haven't been a long time. But then our heart says, but that's going to be really hard. Can He really do that? Can He do all those things? Can He really fulfill me completely, totally, make me completely happy? So sometimes it's really hard for our heart to truly grasp and accept the things that are actually in our mind. And so we want to ask for that faith. We want to ask that we may have the faith of the tax collector who sees himself as he is, sees Almighty God for who he is, and asks for that mercy. He asks for that thing that he greatly needs. St. Teresa of Avila says that for beginners in prayer, and I would make the argument that the Pharisee really is a beginner in prayer because he doesn't really know who he is. He doesn't seem to know who he is in the sight of God, thinking that God almost needs him, and he certainly doesn't have very much self-knowledge, knowing that he too is obviously a great sinner. And so I would say that he is a beginner in prayer. But for beginners in prayer, St. Teresa of Avila says that you really need to be concerned with just three primary things: getting to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation, going to frequent confession, and daily meditation in your prayer life. Meditating on the Word of God, meditating on your favorite Bible passages, meditating on the lives of the saints, meditating on Our Lady, meditating on the person of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done for us in the gospel, meditating on the cross, meditating on God the Father and who He is in and of Himself, meditating on what it really means for Him to be all-powerful, all-knowing, perfect, eternal, all His different attributes of who God truly is. Because if we're able to use our mind to really meditate on these things, to really invite Him more clearly into our lives, and we truly sing for Him for who He truly is, then that foot gets a lot closer. And the things in our mind slowly go down into our hearts, where we finally have good soil, where our Lord can bring about good fruit for us in our lives. And so we need to do these things. And one of the things that we really need to do is that confession. That is almost the first step of the spiritual life, is recognizing that we're sinners, recognize that we need God, that we need to be baptized, and every time we sin, especially if we sin mortally, that we're willing, like the tax collector, to ask God for mercy. And our Lord has made that very, very easy by giving us the sacrament of confession. And so confession is necessary if you're going to advance in the spiritual life. A lot of priests say go once a month. I would say at least four times a year go to confession. The church requires once a year, but I would say at least quarterly. We need to kind of take our spiritual life, lift it up, and say, how are the roots doing? Is the soil good? How is my relationship with my family, my spouse, my children, my coworkers? Do I treat people as if they are Jesus Christ? And do I imitate Jesus Christ? And so we really need to look at our relationship with our Lord and say, how can I be better? And go to confession those areas in which we're lacking and we're not doing very good. Because not going to confession and trying to advance in the spiritual life is like trying to run a marathon without breathing. You're not going to get very far, and you're going to pass out really fast. And so we need confession in our lives. We need to recognize the fact that we are sinners and how much we truly need God, because that is the wisdom of God's mercy. That is the wisdom of the tax collector. seeing ourselves as we are, seeing our own sinfulness, and being willing to raise that up to God and saying, perfect me, make me better, make me holy, make me more like you. Because each and every day we should be striving to receive our Lord's mercy so that we too may walk up to those gates of heaven being more and more justified.